Authorities in Asia are agonizing over how they might have saved people from the giant tsunami that has claimed so many lives. Some experts knew about the quake, but no alert went out in time. In Thailand, a senior forecaster has been fired, and elsewhere, people are demanding a warning system like the one that protects nations in the Pacific. As NPR's Christopher Joyce reports, the technology is easy. The hard part is getting the word out.
When something big goes bump in the Pacific, scientists in Hawaii and Alaska are the first to know. That's where the listening posts are for the Pacific Tsunami Warning System. Paul Whitmore is chief scientist at the Alaska station. He detects quakes from seismometers all over the Pacific and tsunamis from tide gauges and pressure sensors on the ocean floor. The Indian Ocean also has seismometers, but few instruments to detect a tsunami. It could take over a year to install them. In the meantime, Whitmore says a seismic-only system could work.
Our initial warnings are all based just on the earthquake shaking so that we can get warnings to the coast prior to the wave getting there. But you're on a risk. Without the sea level monitors, you have no way to verify a wave that has occurred. It's a poor way to run things, but you would be able to get a warning out.
Whitmore says scientists might raise false alarms without data from ocean buoys that can detect a tsunami wave. Pacific forecasters have done that twice in the past two decades, causing unneeded and expensive evacuations. There is other seismic information, though, that could help predict a tsunami, such as seismic maps of the Indian Ocean floor. These are not hard to get. Knowing where subduction zones are is especially important. These are places where one tectonic plate moves underneath another one.
What we're really making a lot of assumptions on is what type of earthquakes are going to trigger the tsunamis. In subduction zones where most tsunami-generating earthquakes occur, we can base those on quakes that have occurred in the past.
The Sumatra quake was at a subduction zone. Asian planners could also use computer programs developed by the Pacific system scientists. Scientists locate likely places for tsunami-generating quakes. The program then generates a tsunami's size and speed, which depends on the water depth. Scientists do these calculations in advance based on quake hotspots. George Curtis, a physicist and the tsunami advisor to the state of Hawaii, says these programs generate maps that show likely paths for tsunamis.
If a tsunami occurred in a very common expected place like the Aleutians, why there are concentric circles from that showing how long it takes to get anywhere in the ocean.
Curtis and other tsunami experts say the hard part is making sure local officials get the word, especially for tsunamis that are close to land.
They have to look and see what can we do about it locally. If we give people an hour's notice, can we get most of them to safety? If we can do that and we're determined to do it, then we've got to put the procedures in place and the education in place to accomplish that.
In the U.S. and other Pacific Rim nations, there are layers of communications networks, weather service wires, radio and broadcast channels, emergency preparedness networks. Yet in 1998, one participating country, Papua New Guinea, still couldn't react in time, and 2,200 people were killed by a tsunami. Tad Murty, a tsunami expert in Canada who's advised two Pacific countries, says poor countries are at a disadvantage.
They don't have any officials who really should be giving this warning and evacuating people. Till all that kind of thing is done, you can do all the signs, you can put all the instruments, you can still not have a proper warning system.
Murty heads to India next week with other experts from the Pacific Network to help make plans for a warning system for the Indian Ocean. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.